Well, there's traditions like, I don't know, a jack-o'-lantern at Halloween, the Easter Bunny, and then every draft we spend some time with the commissioner of the National Hockey League and the host of his wildly popular and award-winning own radio show, the NHL Hour. Is that right?
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on. Do we got volume here? Hold on. Which one are you on? How about that?
Wait.
There we go.
Well, you good?
I'm good. Now I can hear you.
You know, I always knew this was a technologically sophisticated operation. But in all the names I've ever been called, nobody's ever called me a jack-o'-lantern or the Easter Bunny.
I didn't. I compared it to the traditions.
It's good to be with you.
Seventh consecutive draft that you and I have had this conversation. I am not even with this radio station anymore. I'm now.
You came back to make a special appearance.
I came
for
back
me?
To do a special appearance.
Wow.
So I should let everybody know it's Rob Kerr from Sportsnet and the commissioner of the National Hockey League and the host of his wildly popular radio show.
I don't think
show.
It's won any awards yet, though.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I worked in radio. It's easy to get awards.
Well, you know, it's simulcast, so it's also on TV.
Oh, wow.
It's on the NHL Network.
It's got Sports Emmy written all over it, doesn't it?
You haven't been following closely enough.
All right, let's get into the hard-hitting questions. I got to start with this one.
Okay.
People in Calgary and Columbus want to know why the NHL draft is rigged. Because those guys in Edmonton keep getting that first overall pick. Why is the draft rigged, Gary?
Stop it.
Come on. At least it's topical. Give me that one, right?
Yes, it is. I didn't come back with a retort. I just gave you a smile and said, oh, stop it.
But that was a lawyer's retort, right?
Which?
The one between Rome and your old boss, Mr. Stern? That particular retort is a lawyer's trick, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, because it's an unanswerable question.
Right. Well, it's not that it's just unanswerable. By answering the question, you're almost, in effect, conceding something that isn't even true.
Right.
But
which
know.
Never happens when you and I talk.
Never.
Never. Boy, I'm here in Pittsburgh. Beautiful building, by the way, and compliments to you guys with this fancy new screen of yours.
Isn't that nice?
It is spectacular.
We're on radio, though. People can't see it.
Nah, they'll get the gist of it.
Well, they should tune in. They'll see it.
Okay. But the thing everybody's talking about, who you had breakfast with today.
I don't get that.
Patrick Waugh.
I didn't have breakfast.
I had a
cup of coffee for 15 minutes.
Really?
Patrick's a great guy. Enjoy chatting with him. We stay in touch, like I do with so many other former players.
Sure.
It wasn't the big deal. You see, this is what's wrong with Twitter.
Amongst many things.
No. I'm not being critical, but it's amazing how a pebble rolling down a hill turns into an avalanche. No pun intended.
But isn't that, in many ways, what you've been dealing with the most the last little while? Because before you came over, you just spent some time with the good folks from Winnipeg, right?
Yes.
Who, a year ago, were just making their re-entry back in the National Hockey League. So, of course, we're all
speculation
putting two and two together.
But you know what? How much speculation and rumor was there before it actually happened? And it didn't happen until it happened. And so speculation isn't a good thing, but that's why I like going on the radio with you, so we can talk about things and air them out. If there was something to tell, we'd tell, but there's nothing to tell other than the coffee was very good.
Did you just say that nothing happens until it happens?
Right.
All right. Well, that's true.
It's like a Yogi Berra-ism.
Okay, but let me ask you about what you... I hate using the word learn because that's like I'm talking down to you, but what did you notice about Winnipeg coming back in this season that they had, the success that they had? Was it surprising at all on any level to you?
No, absolutely
then
not.
Then why not do it sooner?
Because we don't move franchises except as a matter of last resort.
Right.
It's not like we sit there and say, you know what, we're in Atlanta, but we'd rather be in Winnipeg, so let's go to Winnipeg. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at where we're going next unless we absolutely have to leave a place where we are.
Right.
So we're working on fixing Phoenix because it's the right thing for fans of the Coyotes, and that's what we do with all franchises, including Pittsburgh, for example, not too long ago.
Fair enough.
And if, and I hope it doesn't happen, if we have to move the Coyotes, then we'll figure out where to go next.
Everybody asks you the same question all the time. Let me ask you about how far along in this process in Phoenix are you? I mean, we've watched it. I'm not going to ask you for a drop-dead date because it's fluid.
The Goldwater Institute has reared its head again and made it a little more complicated, which is what they try and do. For whatever reason, they feel inclined to substitute their judgment for the government officials who were duly elected in Glendale, Arizona. And that's part of the process we're going through. Will they ultimately be successful in killing the Coyotes? I hope not. We're trying to avoid that happening. But if it's the case, and that building is empty and Westgate is destroyed,
yeah,
and the city of Glendale has severe problems, people can then turn to the the Goldwater Institute and talk about who should have been running this process, them or the good people who were elected to be the council of the city of Glendale.
You and I've done this enough. You don't accidentally throw out words. Those are pretty harsh comments that you just made about, you know, destroying the, you know, the
franchise. Because there was, when we were at, Bill Daley and I were at a council meeting when they voted, I guess 10 days ago, and there was an economist who came in and said that the deal that was on the table actually benefits the city of Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, there's a real concern about what happens to the building in the surrounding area if there's no team there. And it appears that the Goldwater Institute's doing everything possible, as they did a year ago in the Holsizer deal, to make it impossible for the city to make a deal. And maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but it's not helping the process.
Let me go back, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you were very complimentary of the Chipman Group last year.
Absolutely.
In Winnipeg, and the way they...
Still complimentary of them.
Absolutely. Would you suggest that that same process is being followed by people in Quebec City? Are they...
We're not. There is no process in Quebec City right now. We know that there's interest in Quebec City, as there are from a number of other cities, but it's nothing that we're exploring or pursuing or doing anything with.
Gary Bettman, Commissioner of the National Hockey League, Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960, live from Pittsburgh for the draft. I'm not going to screw around. Labor.
Huh?
Labor. This whole CBA thing.
What about it?
I'm nervous.
Well,
I love calling hockey games. I love talking about hockey games. I'd like to start on October 11th when the Vancouver Canucks are supposed to come to the Dome, although it'd probably be a hockey night game.
We obviously feel the same way about this.
But you and I also went through 04-05.
Yes, we did.
And I don't want to do that again.
Neither do I.
Can it be avoided?
I hope so. See, what I think people are missing is we haven't even started negotiations. I have no idea what the union's thinking. We have a new executive director for the union,
yep,
who has spent the last year getting up to speed, learning about the game,
right,
the business of the game, the collective bargaining agreement we have, and actually getting familiar with his constituents, the players. We will sit down shortly, and we'll get at it. But beyond that, I can't predict anything other than we hope that it'll be quick, quiet, and painless.
What are your concerns as you go into these negotiations?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What are your concerns as we go into these negotiations? With the game, what's your concern?
Are you talking about from a collective bargaining standpoint?
I am talking about as you get set to negotiate a new deal. What do you need to change?
You want to know what we might be discussing in collective bargaining?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to discuss that with you before I discuss that with the union. That would not be very constructive in the process that we both hope goes smoothly.
You've been very positive about some of the things that are going on in terms of revenue growth and some of the successes,
yes,
you've had. So can you maybe give me your sense of what the landscape is today as opposed to 8 years ago?
No, I don't think that's a discussion that would be constructive to a process that has yet to begin. I'm trying to be as low-key and constructive as possible, and part of that is not getting into a public debate about something that would be purely speculative because, again,
right,
we haven't had a formal meeting yet.
Right, right.
And I hope everybody respects that aspect of the process, at least as the way we're conducting ourselves.
You know what?
Nobody's heard me say anything about the substance of negotiations, and I have no intention of doing it.
Yeah, and that's a fair...
That's a whole lot different than last time.
Yeah, but I think we're all jumping to conclusions, don't
we? I know you are, and
right?
Please stop it. Okay, just stop it right now. People should know, since we're on radio, my tongue is firmly in my cheek. But
in fairness, and you've been a guy that's come out and said that. You called the media out on these types of things, that, you know, we're getting a cart in front of the horse.
Right.
Okay? If I had a dead cat here right now, I do not have a dead cat here, but if I had a dead cat here right now, I would swing it, and I would not hit anybody who doesn't think there's going to be a work stoppage this fall. Now, I know you're shrugging your shoulders and say there's nothing you can do about that, but that's out there.
I'm sorry it's out there, and I hope that doesn't become the case. But you got to understand, there's a process we have to go through.
Yeah.
There's a union we have to deal with. There's a new executive director. I understand the speculation, but I'm not going to buy into it. We're going to do what we think is right in terms of how this process gets conducted.
Biggest success your league had this year in your eyes?
I don't generally focus on going back and say what was successful. We like to focus on what we can do to make things better.
Mm.
So two things. Competitive balance was phenomenal, again. We are going to take a look maybe at tweaking the game just a little bit, nothing fundamental, a little more O, a little less D.
Yeah.
And that's something I discussed with the coaches today. And two, player safety. Paramount important to us. I think we made great strides. I think Brendan Shanahan's doing a terrific job. Concussions were actually down a smidge, which means we've leveled off, and that's in an environment where we're doing a much more aggressive job of diagnosing concussions, so more being reported than ever before. And in that environment, I think we've turned the ship around and heading in the right direction, but it's a slow process, but it remains a vital priority.
And I'll end on this one then. With that said, are the major sports leagues beginning to maybe look at partnerships or working? Because this is certainly something football's going through. I think that whole idea of head injuries is really...
The physicality is different
in
all sports.
Yeah.
The treatment of concussions is something that not just sports leagues, medical science is dealing with because it's tough for everybody to get their arms around, but it's something we've been taking very seriously since 1997, and we're going to continue to work on. It's a priority for us. The safety of our players is of paramount importance.
Your favorite part of this weekend? I've never asked you that. What do you like about this weekend?
I love getting to see the kids and the families and how they just react to what is an extraordinary day in their lives, and welcoming them to the NHL family.
All right. Well, get that draft that lottery fixed. We're tired of those guys up north getting that first pick all the time.
Okay.
Can you get on? Look, I mean, of all the things that you've been...
I hear what you're saying, but we don't have to go there.
Good to see you, my friend.
Great to see you as well.
All right, pal.
Thanks.
It's the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, joining us from the Console Energy Center in Pittsburgh. We'll take a break and come back with more. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.